Jesus is our assurance in death.
He gives us comfort when we are near death. And that you'll find, of course, in Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, and in particular, in the fourth verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Fascinating indeed is the literalness of the 23rd Psalm as it was lived by a shepherd, but in the spiritual message it teaches us when we are approaching death, for the child of God, there is comfort, there is strength. I fear no evil. Now, I've never died before. I'm ready, okay, for death. I'm willing when the Lord calls me, but you know, I've never had the experience of dying. Therefore, there is some anxiety about it. Do not include in those kind of new experience emotions, don't confuse that with being afraid to die. Can you understand the difference? Because there are some people who are certain that something's deficient in their faith because of the feelings they have about dying. Well, I know where I'm going when I die. I've often said it. I hope that when it comes time to die, that it's quick. Amen. Since I never died before, I don't know what it's going to be like. And therefore, if it happens quick, then I don't have to deal with it. Yes, now, whether that is God's will or not for my life, we don't know. But what we're taught here in verse 4 is that we have no fear of evil because death for the believer does not hold anything involving evil. And he will be our comfort. And we know from the book of Revelation, if we go to the very last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Jesus is our assurance in death because he has the keys of death. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. We're going to see how that develops even more here shortly. But we have assurance about eternity and about heaven. We have assurance of Jesus in the dying experience because he holds the keys. And he is the first fruits. Now we'll go to 1 Corinthians, and we'll be in 1 Corinthians for a little bit of time tonight. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the great resurrection chapter. But we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He rose from the dead first, rose from the dead to not die again. There were others recorded in the scriptures that rose from the dead, but they died again. Okay? What a time to draw a blank. The fellow that walked with God and was not. Enoch, thank you. And God took it. See, he didn't die. He was just translated.
Amen.
Okay? But there are other situations. On the day of Jesus' resurrection, there are many that rose from the dead. But we have no record of what happened with them, and so I assume they died again. Now, there may be other thoughts on that, and that's not my subject, and probably shouldn't have opened that door. But nevertheless, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that of course would be Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, that be Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so in the first Adam we all died, but in the second Adam we're all going to be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that he'll put under his feet that shall be destroyed is death. So he is the first fruits. He takes care of death for us. Yes, now we have the death experience. We have died. My father and mother both were believers, and they died. Someday I'll see them again. And you have various people you could name that you know were born again, and therefore you will get to see them in the future. And that's only possible because Jesus is the first fruits. Now, we're still in 1 Corinthians 15. However, I want to go now to verse 54. Let me go back to 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You see, some people are going to be amongst the living when Jesus comes back. And they are not going to sleep the sleep of death. They, like Enoch, will be translated. Okay? Just caught up in what we identify as the rapture experience. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Do you know that the twinkle of an eye is much less than a wink? If I had pastor's mind, I would probably remember the timing, as I'm sure he would. But I heard a preacher preach one time, and he had the actual amount of time a twinkle is, and a wink is much longer. Okay? Now, a wink's pretty quick, isn't it? I mean, I'd wink to demonstrate, but then I'm afraid the ladies would think I'm winking at them. And that wouldn't be good. Then the men mad at me. Then I'd end up with a black eye, and I won't be able to wink or twinkle. let's get back here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, the reason I went back to 51 rather than starting at my announced 54 is because of the corruption and the incorruption. This body's corruptible.
Amen.
Okay? It's corruptible now while it's living. It'll be corruptible in its death, okay? But there's coming a time that this corruptible will put on, as a matter of fact, it must, so it can live for all of eternity, it will put on incorruption. It won't be able to be sick anymore. It won't have any limitations anymore. It'll be perfect in all possible respects. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, we're going to have immortality. Because we're going to live forever. There won't be any dying. And that's what we come to now in the 54th verse. So when this corruptible, we're looking to the future now, when this corruptible shall have put on, so we're looking to the future and speaking of it as a past tense experience. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have. So you see, we're looking to the future, but in the future now, we're looking back to when it happened. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then at that point, at that time, shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Whenever I read those kind of statements, then as it is written, where is it written? Okay? If I'm just, when I'm reading, sometimes I'm reading through now, I wonder, well, where's it written? But the purpose of my reading that passage doesn't warrant me finding out where it's written. Okay? But then there's other times where, like today, well, where is it written? It isn't that I don't believe that it's written. You just wonder, where is it written? And that's where, depending on what kind of a study Bible you have, you'll have some kind of an indication. Mine is a little letter C. And next in the center column then, it sends us to Isaiah 25. So if you go to Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. And it's nice when you have a study Bible that shows you that kind of thing. Otherwise, you end up either at least getting out a concordance and looking up the word swallow, okay? Death is swallowed up. You look up swallowed. Or you end up reading through the whole Bible to find it. Now, you and I both know that's not going to happen. You know, you would have to have one biggest case of wondering where it's at, that you would read through the whole Bible to find it. You know, this is why people do studying, so that we can benefit from some of their studying. And, that happens every week at this church. Pastor studies, prepares for messages. And we benefit from that. You know, if he simply stood up and gave us his text and said, there, go home and learn about it. Okay. No, he is our study Bible in Sunday school and Sunday morning. And because he has followed it out. He has checked out, thought through, researched, whatever words you want to use to describe, and now he's helping us with it. And that's what a study Bible does when it gives us like those cross references, they're called. And it takes us to Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. And this is under the Triumphs of the Kingdom Age. This particular study Bible calls it the Triumphs of the Kingdom Age. But verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We've read that in the Revelation, that God is going to wipe away all tears. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, and for the Lord hath spoken it. But the beginning part of this verse, he will swallow up death in victory. And now, if we go to Hosea chapter 13, Hosea, and boy, wasn't that something. Thank you, Lord. I just happened to turn right to Hosea because you know my problem with finding them little guys. All right, Hosea. Oh, whoo, Lord's good. You know, you feel rather dumb when you're sitting up here flipping back and forth, you know, looking for Hosea. And it just doesn't impress people when you turn to the table of contents then to find it. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. And I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Why? Because the grave will not have power. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Oh, you know, there's coming a time when there will be no death, there will be no grave. Now we're going back to 1 Corinthians and verse chapter 15 and verse 54, where it says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, the grave doesn't have victory because it's swallowed up. Jesus overcame death by his resurrection. And so the grave has no victory. Right now, the grave is victorious. I put my daddy in the grave where our family did back in 1957. He's been there, his physical earthly body has been there ever since. Right now, the grave has victory over that body. But not when the Lord Jesus comes, because he already has victory over the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? What do you mean, the sting? You know? What's the sting? What does it mean, death's sting? Well, it tells us right there in the next verse. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin. O death, he says, where is thy sting? When the Lord rose from the dead, and when we ourselves, either in the rapture, or we are, that is the living person, or we are brought out of the grave, the death will have no sting. Sin will not be able to hold us. Right now, the grave has victory because of sin. Look at James chapter 1. Book of James chapter 1 and verse 15. Now verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth death. Those evil desires, those evil thoughts, they bring forth sin, the action of sin. And sin, when it is finished, what's it bring? Death. sin brings forth death. But the sting of death is sin. But Jesus has taken the sting out of death.
Amen.
Took the sting out of sin. Right. You've all heard the illustration. I know I have many times. Where a little boy and his father were outside, and a bumblebee was there, and or some kind of bee, and the little boy was just scared, petrified, and the dad, you know, quick got the bee and held it in its hand, and it did sting the dad. And the little boy said, "Don't open the hand, don't open your hand, don't let the bee out, don't let the bee out." And the dad explained, "No, the bee only has one sting. And he stung my hand, so he can't sting you again."
Amen.
Sin has a sting, it's death. But Jesus Christ, he took death.
I like it.
And it did, if you please, sting him. In the death experience, not in the sin. He bore our sin. In that sense, it did. But it, you see, death has no sting anymore because of what Jesus Christ did. And death is swallowed up. And so the sting, the victory, is ours because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our assurance. And that's a marvelous, marvelous truth. Now I'm going to conclude with what I began. Since we've never gone through the death experience, there'll be some sense of anxiety, some sense of uncertainty, some sense of I don't know what, okay? I don't know what word you would use. But that's not what is talked about here. Because what's talked about here, the sting is gone. The grave, okay, has no victory because Jesus is in our heart. He lives in our life. He's given us eternal life. Those are some wonderful, wonderful promises. Father in heaven, were it not for that which you tell us in your word, we would indeed be most fearful of this matter.